How you doing? All right, I warned Kitchener that usually you guys are a little bit more excited than they are. They needed to step it up, but you know, you're doing all right. You're doing all right. How you doing? There we are. I love it. My friends, did you know that the moment that you believed in Jesus and surrendered your life to him, that the Holy Spirit came to reside within you? And when that happened, the Spirit gave you supernatural abilities to be used in your calling as a follower of Jesus. I know the weight of that statement and actually the worldview statement that it comes with, of there being a spiritual realm of a God in this universe who loves you and who exists and who wants to work in you. I'm aware of that because that is so different from what our world says. But I do believe there is a Holy Spirit that is within you and equips you to live out your calling. And part of that call is to be the church. The spiritual gifts are special abilities given by the Spirit used to worship God, to edify the church, and to empower you to carry out God's plans for our world. And my friends, this is important because if we truly want to be a church that lives into its calling to make more and better disciples, if we truly want to see renewal, not just to our church, but also to our world that is aching for the love of God, and if we want to experience life to the fullest as Jesus offers, we need to surrender. We need to see a merging of our spiritual gifts combined with the practices of the way of Jesus, all while surrendering to Jesus as he seeks to guide us and lead us here in this life. The question then is, are we ready and are we willing? That's what I want to ask us this morning. And so this week, it's going to mark a little bit of a shift in our series, Gifted by the Spirit, where we're going to be digging into the specific gifts that are listed in Scripture, which I'm very excited for. I hope you are excited as well. It's my hope that by going through these gifts, that you will be able to understand what they are, how they work, and if you might have these gifts. Because if we want to see revival here in our church, if we want to see the Spirit at the forefront of everything we do and everything that we are, we want to see you live into the design that God has made you to be. That is exciting. And when we see that, we're going to see true renewal. So can I ask you, like, do you know your spiritual gifts? Have you ever had a chance to really seek that out, to figure these things out? Have you used them or are you using them? Or maybe are you falling back on learned abilities or skills, natural talents? There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, you can use those to worship God and to build up the church. But our hope in this series is that you would engage in the ways the Spirit has equipped you and led you, that you would fall back on him rather than your own abilities and strengths. And so with this series, we want to help you know and understand your spiritual gifts while also recognizing your dependence on the Holy Spirit for them. So just a quick reminder, if you weren't here for the last couple Sundays, go back and watch those messages online because they're foundational for our understanding of everything that's going to come here forward. So are you ready? You ready to get into these specific spiritual gifts? I want you to turn to the person next to you, okay? I want you to lock eyes with them. I want you to say, it's spiritual gift time. And on that note, let's pray. In fact, if you're willing, would you just extend your hands just in a posture of receiving? Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. We want to know you, God. We want to surrender to you. We want to live into the ways that you are calling us, into the ways you have designed us, God. I pray that as we come to know you deeper, we would also know ourselves deeper, and that you would empower us to live out the ways you've designed us, the gifts you have given us, to build your kingdom here in this church, in our own lives, and to see your love spread to this world that is so in need of you, God. Lord, help us to hold this morning and just our posture in a place of openness and of receiving, to set aside any of our preconceived notions about what the spiritual gifts are or what they aren't, and let you have your way in us, God. We give this morning to you. Come and speak, Holy Spirit. Would you speak through me, Lord, as I preach? May this be of your strength and not my own. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, Bobby Clinton is an author, a theologian, a professor, and he recognized that the spiritual gifts that are listed in Scripture can basically be grouped into three categories. And those categories are love, power, and word gifts. And each of those categories plays a specific role within a church as they all serve to build the church in different ways. And so the love gifts that we're gonna start by talking about this morning, these manifest the love of God in practical ways. Basically, if these gifts are being demonstrated, you know that God loves you. You know that God is love. The power gifts, these demonstrate the power, presence, and the reality of God. You know that God is in the room when you see these gifts enacted. And the word gifts, these clarify the nature and the actions and the purposes of God. Basically, you know who God is, you know what he is like, you know that he is love, and you know what his will is. And as we discuss these specific spiritual gifts, I think it's really important for us to know a few things. As we read this morning, we are the body of Christ. Nate shared that God has designed each of us, and each of us is important, and that's the thing I want you to know. No spiritual gift is more important than another. In fact, no spiritual gift is more supernatural than another. They are all equally gifted by the same Spirit, used for the same purpose. At verse 25 in our passage, it said, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Throughout church history, many churches have misunderstood these categories of spiritual gifts. Actually, that's the reason Paul wrote this in the first place. The early church was one of those churches, so we're in good company. But basically, there's many churches out there that have lacked an awareness or an experience in one category of those gifts while leaning heavily on different categories. And there, you actually end up repressing part of the body of Christ in one way and idolizing other parts of it in others. My friends, this is sinful, and we need to be careful and intentional about not doing this. And I'll be honest, even we at WMB Church have done this. So I want us to really seek the Spirit this morning and to live into the church that he calls us to be. May he guide us in repentance and renew us to live into that calling. That is why I wanted to open us with that passage and let it stand as our reminder that the body of Christ is diversely gifted just as God desires for you and for us. At verse 22, it says, that which seems weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. The CSB translation uses the word indispensable. My friends, you and your giftings are indispensable to the church. Because, think about it, if a church was only ever made up of those with the power gifts and the word gifts, we might be able to like vision really well and dream and get really excited about what God wants to do. We could preach a darn good sermon, but we wouldn't actually be able to get anything done. And that's not good. We don't want to lean just on one category or another. We need all of them. And some of you might need some unlearning or even some healing in this area. In fact, I wonder if maybe that's why we felt a little bit of tension this morning. Perhaps you grew up in a scenario where because all the emphasis was put on the power gifts and because you couldn't speak in tongues, you felt like you weren't as spiritual as everybody else. Or maybe that even your actual salvation and your belief in Jesus was in question. Or maybe on the other end of the spectrum, you might have been taken advantage of because your gift of helps or of mercy was run into the ground and overused, and you got burnt out from being overworked, and now maybe you hide that gift. Wherever you might fall kind of in that spectrum, I just want you to know that Jesus has something for you this morning. There's healing to be had. And I'm sorry if that is your experience, but I do believe Jesus wants to renew you through this so that you can truly live into the gifts that God has given you and that we would see renewal and revival in this church and in this world. We need all three groups in the church. Then, as our passage said, all the parts are glad. And this is God's plan for his church to see his kingdom come into the earth. So today we begin our study of the spiritual gifts with the love gifts. That is administration, helps or service, mercy, and giving. And the funny thing here, I do not have any of these. And you might be wondering, well, Brad, why are you preaching on it then? Well, two reasons. One, the Bible gives us teaching on this that we can rely on and learn a ton from. Because here's the thing, even between Jeff and me and the rest of our preaching team, we do not have all of these gifts covered. So we need scripture. Between our church, yeah, we do, but not just with our small little team. And secondly, I have experienced personally both what it is like to lead when these gifts are lacking and when they're present. And let me tell you that the difference is remarkable. And that's because the love gifts exhibit the love of God in tangible ways. That is their role. That's what they are here for. They let people know that God is love. They're all about building up and supporting what God has established in his church, and they're key to a church functioning well. All right? They actually are responsible because they demonstrate the love of God. They're highly responsible for how a church kind of feels. You know what I mean by that? Like, is the church welcoming? Is it caring? Is it supportive? Does it help each other out? Does it invite others in? Is it merciful? Is it friendly? Have you ever been to a church that isn't welcoming? You haven't felt welcome? Don't answer that out loud. But this is why we need these gifts. People with these gifts usually don't like to be in the spotlight or relied on for vision or for leadership. They're supportive in nature that way. They are often thriving behind the scenes, there to implement and encourage vision and leadership of a church. This does not make these gifts any less important or less spiritual. That's what our passage was getting at. In fact, they're needed, indispensable, it says. So as we unpacked the love gifts of administration, helps, mercy, and giving, I do have a little preface. Actually, I have five. But keep in mind, here we go. Here's the preface. As we talk about this, we're going to be talking about several gifts in each message every Sunday morning. There is only so much time, and because of that, we're only going to be scraping the surface of this. Like, I've been talking about four this morning, and I'm going to be able to spend like 5 minutes on each of them. There's so much more that you can do. I invite you to go deeper with the people around you, with your home groups. We also have good resources in our church library. I recommend the book Convergence by John Thompson. Secondly, Scripture lists 21 spiritual gifts. I think I got that number right. Correct me if I'm wrong. We're going to be looking at those ones specifically. However, I do believe this list isn't exhaustive, and we also believe the Spirit can enable us circumstantially as needed. That is pretty cool, and I know that might bring up more questions, and you know what? Awesome. I'm here for it. If you've got questions, if you're just like, this is rocking my worldview right now of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, I love it. And I would actually invite you to write those questions down. Send me an email. Send Jeff an email, because we're actually going to be doing a Q&A series or session at the end of this where we're going to dig into those specific questions. Thirdly, if these gifts are not your gifts, they do become spiritual practices. Basically, if your spiritual gift is not giving, you're not off the hook. You're still called to give. We're still called to be merciful and to be helpful. But there is a difference between spiritual gifts and spiritual practices, and we're called to do all of the spiritual practices together. There's also a difference between spiritual gifts, learned abilities, and natural talents. For example, like I grew up, the thing I was the best at growing up was art. I went to school for art. That is a natural talent of mine. I went to develop it further, but that's different than a spiritual gift, even if I want to use my art in a way that worships Jesus. And there's definitely overlap between these for sure. There is a little bit of a gray zone here, and you can use these all to worship Jesus and to build the church. The danger, though, the thing we need to be aware of, is that we cannot fall back on our own strengths and talents and rely solely on those without relying on the Holy Spirit and the way he has gifted us. I know that also might bring up more questions than answers, but that's okay. And last thing, last preface. How do we know if we have these gifts? How do we actually figure that out? With each gift that I described this morning and as we go throughout this series, we're going to describe the characteristics that we see in people who have these spiritual gifts. And I'm going to ask that you would pray, that you would ask God to show you how has he designed you. Watch for what you might be relating to and getting excited about as we describe these things. However, I also want us to come to this with just an open mind and heart. To set aside our preconceived notions of this, especially because it's very possible we've had some misguidance along this line, some false teaching, and because, like me, maybe you took an online test at one point, and we're like, oh, I'm spiritually gifted in faith. Well, here's the thing. As much as those are great starting points, there's an assumption there that the test knows you better than the Holy Spirit does, which I don't think works. And it also assumes that maybe we've already had the chances to put these gifts into action and therefore experience, oh, I really do come alive when I serve in this way. There's some assumptions made there, and to be honest, I've taken these tests. I've even had our youth do them from time to time, and I have to do some unlearning here, and I'm very okay with that. And I hope we can all just kind of take a posture of saying, Spirit, come, have your way in me, teach me. All right. Some of you may know your gifts, and you've used them well. Some of you may have a hunch of what they might be, and some of you may be totally new to this, and that is okay. This is not going to be a zap. Well, I guess it could be, but usually it's a journey of figuring things out and test it and this process of trial and error, trial and obedience in asking God to call you and to lead you. So my advice, pray. Seek Jesus. Be close with him. Be in community with other believers. Test these things. Ask good questions. And then after all that, pray some more. So you ready? On to the gifts? Let's go. All right. Thank you. We're going to start with the gift of administration. Administration is the ability to manage details and information that serves to function in support of the vision and the leadership of a church. It's the capacity to manage details and service, and it functions to free up those in leadership to use their giftings. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, it's often listed as guidance or even leading. Ours is administration, which is different than leadership. More on that later in this series. But the original Greek word here is kybernesis, and that literally translates into English as administration. It's derived from a Greek word that was also used to talk about a helmsman, someone who would steer a ship, literally the guy getting a ship from point A to point B. But they're not the captain. The captain's the one who chooses that destination, and the helmsman just helps to get there. Now, I do not have this gift. Just ask my wife. In fact, actually, it's funny, because I did have a youth leader once say to me, Brad, you're the most organized youth pastor I've ever met, which sets a very low bar for youth pastors in general. And I just said to them, yeah, you know what? That's because my wife, who does have this spiritual gift, showed me some things. And may I say, I am still not that good at this, but I've at least been able to learn a little bit, and that's a learned ability. By the way, if you didn't know, I was hired on as a youth intern here at WMB in 2013 alongside my wife, Leah. We were sharing that role together, and it was just so cool because in that, we had no idea of this. We both just kind of naturally fell into our spiritual gifts, and we complemented each other really well that way. It was really cool. But administration is something I've learned, but I still think of how much better was it and is it when someone else who has this spiritual gift can free me in this area so that I can do the things that God has called me to do and pour into my own gifts. Because those with this gift tend to effortlessly organize tasks and people in ways that are helpful, clear, and accessible. These people love to do things that help others in practical ways, and they find great joy in seeing others benefit. We see this play out in Scripture too. In Acts chapter 6, there's a moment where a complaint arises amongst the early Christians that someone wasn't doing their job the way they were supposed to be doing it. And that's usually how it starts. But here's what the church leaders do. At verse 2, it says, the 12 summoned the whole company of the disciples and said, it would not be right for us to give up preaching the word of God to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, that's key, whom we can appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Lord. And that's a key phrase or qualify there, full of the Spirit and wisdom. So you can't tell me that the gift of administration or the other love gifts aren't spiritual gifts or that they're less spiritual than the others. The Bible just told us that the very first administrators in the church were what? Full of the Holy Spirit, gifted by him to equip the church in this area. That is pretty cool. My friends, you might have this spiritual gift if you have effortless skill in organizing tasks and people. If maybe you like to streamline and clarify steps required to accomplish more complex tasks, those of you who just get really excited opening up an Excel doc, not me. You have concern for the good of the whole group when you're put in charge, not overlooking anyone. You prefer to function in behind-the-scenes ways, not taking center stage or in the spotlight. You feel like you are worshiping Jesus through tasks like organizing and calculating and supporting. And you find divine joy when others around you are set free from this task to go and pour into their own giftings. If this description sounds like you, and especially if you've had circumstances like this show up repeatedly, if you find joy in these things, it's likely that you have the spiritual gift of administration. And I am so grateful that there are others who have these gifts in this area, because you do not want me organizing complicated things. Second gift is the gift of helps or service. The gift of helps and service is given primarily to aid others in practical ways. But unlike administration, this is less about organizing and spreadsheets. It's more about carrying out the actual tasks in practical ways to those who are in need. It's the capacity to unselfishly meet the needs of others through very practical service. Those with this gift do often, you know, simple and even messy tasks with cheerfulness and with joy. They do it regularly, and they do it with a sense that they are worshiping Jesus. And this can look different depending on the circumstances. It can look like anything from roles in hospitality to painting a room to cleaning up after a meal to cleaning up after my kids to setting up band equipment for worship or to doing maintenance and repairs, or setting up chairs. Any of you go to a church where you had to set up chairs and take them down at the beginning and end of every service? Come on, I did, yeah? And you know how most of us are just like, oh, that slide comes up and it says, please stack chairs 12 high. And you're all like, yeah, I need to go prepare my meal for the potluck. And then there's that one guy who sees that slide and he just goes like, it's time to get to work. You know that guy? You know who I'm talking about? And he's not just trying to like show off to all the ladies with how many chairs he could lift like me and my friends were doing in youth group. No, this guy, he is there finding joy. It is an act of worship, and he finds life in helping out others in this practical way. That is the guy with the spiritual gift of helps and service. Do you know that guy? I know there's a whole bunch in here. In fact, I know there's someone at our Kitchener site who shows up every week bright and early, before even getting into the hospitality roles that he's also in, who just organizes all of the papers in the pews that you might see in front of you. Pews, chairs, you know what I mean. This gift liberates and encourages others to engage fully in their own gifts. And because of this, it is often overlooked, and as others accomplish the more upfront and obvious tasks. And so this, I need you to hear, is as much of a spiritual gift as speaking in tongues or teaching or anything else. Here's how I know. In 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter says that just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the very grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, let it be from the strength God provides, so that God might be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. Notice how general and universal this starts at verse 10. Just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others. But when Peter writes of service, of that's the gift of helps, he says, if anyone serves, let it be from the strength God provides. My friends, for those of you who have this gift, did you know that when you are using this gift in a healthy way, you are literally doing it with the strength that God has put in you? That's why that guy could lift 8 chairs at a time. It's not on your own strength, but on the strength that God equips you with. So you might have this gift if you have an urge to help others, and you seem to notice ways that you can help others without even being told or asked. You love working behind the scenes and without recognition. That's not why you do this, but I know that many of you really do appreciate a thank you and an encouragement. You find deep enjoyment in seeing how your efforts enable or benefit a ministry or to others to use their own gifts. And you might find yourself thriving in hospitality type roles like welcoming, ushering, helping newcomers find their way. Just really quickly, my mother-in-law has this gift, and it is so evident whenever we spend time together as a family. And I remember taking our youth leaders there on a youth retreat once, and one of my youth leaders, who was a student and had eaten ramen for like 3 straight years, came there, and my mother-in-law's gift of hospitality came through in a home-cooked meal, so much to the point it brought this person to tears. It was awesome. I loved seeing that happen. For those of you who have this gift of helps, hear me say, I'm sorry if your giftings and your efforts have ever gone overlooked or unrecognized. I'm sorry if you've ever been abused in this way, taken for granted, overworked, and not been cared for or freed to steward your gift. My friends, you are indispensable, and we're truly grateful for you. Church, if you happen to notice someone who has this gift, give them a little encouragement, a high five, a thank you. We need them. All right, third gift this morning is the gift of mercy. John Thompson, who's an author and a pastor here in Ontario, he says that this gift is reclusive but powerful. That's cool. In Romans 12, there's another list of the spiritual gifts. And at verse 8, Paul simply says, if your gift is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Mercy is a supernatural ability to feel true empathy and compassion for an individual in crisis, and then to use that compassion, that emotion, to act in a tangible way to the point where that person senses and experiences the love of Jesus. If you have this gift, you are routinely moved to care for the needs of others, even in embracing a sinner to show them the love of God. When others are running away from those in need because it's messy or complicated or difficult, you're going like, where's everyone going? I am right here. You take joy in being present and helpful. And this is different from helps or service, because helps or service, that gift is often directed at equipping and encouraging ministry within the church or larger groups of people. The gift of mercy, though, is directed more towards those who are suffering, who are in need and in immediate distress. To give you a really good example of this, who knows Lisa Matthews? She works here on staff, and Lisa, is while she functions a lot in administration, which she's good at, that is a learned ability for her. That's not her spiritual gift. Her spiritual gift is mercy, and this is really cool. This is why she is a powerhouse when it comes to caring for those in need who have lost loved ones through our funeral services here at WMB. And I've seen this from working with Lisa over the past 12 years, where she's just like, you, go do this stuff right now. And you're like, yes, ma'am. And you go and you do that stuff. You don't want to mess with it. But may I say, 2 years ago when my mom passed and her funeral was here, I experienced this in Lisa. I didn't have to worry about the service details or how it would run or if it would be smoothly, or, you know, run smoothly, or if my extended family would feel loved or cared for, or if I would get my favorite funeral sandwiches or not. No, Lisa was on it, and that was such a blessing. Remember, if this is not your spiritual gift, it is a spiritual practice. You are called to be helpful and merciful and caring, but some of you have a particular ability in this area, like Lisa, and that might be your spiritual gift. It's so evident in the ministry of Jesus. Think of the ways he met those who are often overlooked by society and cast out and left behind. When he saw someone in this situation, he would often go right to them and perform a miracle to heal them, or he would come to their defense, affirming their humanity as a beloved child of God. How did he respond to the woman caught in the act of adultery? He said to the crowd, the one without sin among you should be the first to throw a stone at her. And then he looked at her and said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. So, mercy. You might have this gift if you regularly feel compassion for those who are hurting and desire to meet them in ways that alleviate that suffering. You're able to empathize with those who are hurting, willing to weep with those who weep, mourn with those who mourn, and even celebrate with those who celebrate. You take delight and feel a divine responsibility in caring for the poor or the elderly or shut-ins or those with disabilities, those who have lost a loved one, and more. And you might even be amazed at the contrast between how unmerciful you might have been before giving your life to Jesus and now how the Spirit is active in you. You have a deep desire to care for those in need since surrendering your life to Jesus. If that describes you, you might have the gift of mercy, my friends. All right, and our last gift for this morning is giving. This is a cool one. Once again, what isn't a spiritual gift is a spiritual practice. You are called to give and to give generously. Yet, like mercy, some of you have an incredible ability to do this, and you do it with generosity even when you honestly don't even have that much to spare. It's like you're constantly thinking about, who can I bless through giving of something, either financially or materially? The spiritual gift of giving, therefore, is an innate ability to channel resources and possessions to those in need. You do so with joy, often with the right motive, and that's key, and with great generosity. Once again, at Romans 12, at verse 8, it says, according to the grace given to us, we all have different gifts. Paul says, if it is giving, give with generosity. And that implies that there is indeed a spiritual gift of giving. And if this is a spiritual gift of yours, you are called to exercise it with generosity, to do it well. And I've seen some of you have this. It's amazing. In fact, I have a friend who goes here, and she was going out of the country for a little while, and she knew that my family, we were down to one vehicle, and she's like, Brad, do you guys just want to borrow my car for a couple weeks? I'm like, wow, that'd be really helpful for us. Yeah, and you know, it's like, it's kind of a nice car. You know, I might drive it fast, right? She's like, yeah, have at it, have fun. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. The same person. I see her take regular opportunities to give away large sums of money to others in need, as well as to whole ministries within our church. Those who have the spiritual gift of giving give more and more and with regularity to the work that God is doing. They see new ways to give. They're constantly thinking of ways to give. They're even sad when they cannot give. And they find joy in giving things away, recognizing it as an act of worship. They seem to have a sense of discernment around what God wants to do, and therefore they keep in step with the Spirit with this idea that they're going to be able to use their gift. And this isn't necessarily tied to earning large sums of money. No, it's actually more about just giving away what is indeed earned in your life. Here's an amazing example found in Scripture. In Acts chapter 4, verses 34 to 37, you know, this is a moment where the early church, they're gathering together for the first time, and it says, there was not a needy person among them, because all who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. This was then distributed to every person as they needed. And verse 36, Joseph, a man named Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus by birth, the one the apostles called Barnabas, which translated son of encouragement, sold a field he owned, brought the money, and laid it all at the apostles' feet. Notice three things. For one, this was a supportive gift that worked as a collaborator in the context of the full church and its leadership. Secondly, this man, Joseph, he's got a nickname. And if you've ever wondered why we have a ministry that works to support those in material poverty called Barnabas, now you know. But usually when someone has a nickname, it's because they've earned it. I bet you this guy had a reputation for giving. And thirdly, this man gave in public. Now, I know that might bring up some objections for you. Maybe you're even thinking of Jesus' words where he's like, when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing so that your giving may be in secret. And you'd be right. Jesus does say that. But this passage isn't forbidding the testimony of giving. It's actually more about the motive of your heart. Right before that, Jesus says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Jesus' point is simple. Whether you give in public or in secret, the motive of your heart is what matters. And for those of you who have the spiritual gift of giving, you do this as an act of worship. I know it. That's the motive that you have, and I see it. It's not about you or your kingdom or your recognition. It's about God and his kingdom. And my friends, we actually need the testimony of giving within our church. I think that would be so cool to hear about how God has equipped you and used you to further his kingdom here in this world. We should celebrate that. So you might have the spiritual gift of giving if you find yourself setting aside certain amounts of money because you just kind of expect an opportunity is going to come to give it away. You are tuned in and aware of the circumstances in others' lives. Just thinking of ways a material gift or a financial gift would significantly benefit them and empower them to do the work God is doing in them. You get great joy out of helping someone, even if that comes without that person ever knowing you helped them. You're the people at a restaurant that just pay for another table's bill and you walk out going, they're gonna have fun with that. You find yourself holding possessions loosely and lightly, on the lookout for someone who might have a need greater than your own. And you have an ease to recognize that we are just stewards of God's resources. None of this belongs to us. And you aim to live a simple lifestyle, convicted of the call to give away whatever God asks you with a cheerful heart. Did you know that you're actually an answer to prayer? For those of you who have this gift, did you know that? Did you know that your gift and your obedience in using it might actually be the exact thing that someone has been desperately praying over? Did you realize that? Have you ever thought about it that way? That in fact, you know, the circumstances of that person's life could be so specific to that moment, and you're giving in such a way that only God can be pointed to for making this all happen. And then he gets the glory and the power and the praise that he deserves. Do you realize that that's what you're doing when you use your gift? I pray that you use it. It is powerful and a profound spiritual gift. Give with generosity. Okay, I know that was a lot. You good? You alive? Excellent. My friends, we've looked at the first four spiritual gifts that make up the love gifts category. And remember, the love gifts, they display the power of God, the love of God, sorry, in tangible, practical ways. I hope you've seen how administration helps, mercy and giving show how powerful God's love is. If you have these gifts, you have a calling and a responsibility to demonstrate the love of God to others through enacting them. That is pretty cool. Our church needs them. We need you and the people who have these gifts. Do you find yourself relating to any of these? Do you connect with any of this? Have you had chances to practically test these things, to live these things out? If you found yourself getting excited by any of those descriptions, I pray that you would take a step, a risk to test this out in action. Give it a shot. I encourage you to work through those things alongside other believers, like in your home groups, and those people who know you well can speak to this and kind of call out these good gifts you have in your life. We need you, we love you, and we're very grateful for you. Can I just do a straight up shameless plug? We got a couple courses coming up, and my friends, these are like brilliant opportunities for the love of Jesus to shine. Alpha being one of them that we're gonna be running here in Waterloo, a chance for people to explore the big questions of life. We're gonna be cooking meals for them. It's a place to discover Jesus. People may literally give their lives to Jesus for the first time through it. And we need a team. We wanna see you activated to serve in that way. If you're interested, come and talk to me. Another one we got coming up is a course called Becoming Men of Integrity. This is a course that's all about men finding freedom from sexual sin. And I'm very excited to be leading that alongside one of our congregants. And we're gonna be having a big breakfast together, and then we're gonna be running small group stuff throughout the weeks. We need your help. So I would invite you, if that's just getting you excited, come and talk to me, send me an email, talk to any one of our staff. We wanna get that going together. I wanna end with this. When I was overseeing our young adults ministry over the last couple years, to be honest, I actually kinda struggled to like make things work. To find a way that things were just fitting together, there was coherence and things were working well. And my primary giftings are more around the word gifts. We're gonna learn about that next week. And as I grew to know and care for our young people, I saw how much they were in need of someone who had the love gifts. You know, think of that stage of life. You know, I already mentioned my friend who'd eaten ramen for 3 years straight. Like, think of that stage of life you're in. You're out on your own for the first time. You know, you're paying huge amounts of money for tuition or for rent. You're under the constant pressure of post-secondary schoolwork or finding a job, managing relationships, and thinking a lot about the unknowns of the future. It's hard. It really is. It's wonderful, but it's hard. And many of our young people struggle with mental health and emotional challenges. And as I ministered to our young people, and it was a privilege to do that, I got to practice these gifts. Spiritual practice. But I began to see that what they didn't need was another sermon or a good teaching. They were getting that. They were here on Sundays at church. No, what they needed was a hug, a listening ear, someone to tell them they weren't alone, someone who could be there with them and give them time and space and presence, someone who had a spiritually profound, enabled way to show them the love of God. And I'm so grateful for the time I had with them and as I got to practice those disciplines to care for them. But let me say, it is an even greater joy to now see a whole team of leaders with our young adults ministry who have these gifts care for our young people. And may I say, it is thriving. And I'm so, so happy. Yeah. My friends, if I could boil this down to one thing, those of you who have the love gifts have a call and a responsibility to demonstrate the love of God to others through using your gifts. Worship team, you guys can come on up because we're going to close off our service with more worship and we're going to close off with prayer. Now, we normally do this during the last song. Our prayer ushers are going to be up here at the front and we invite you to just come and be prayed over. That's normal. But I want to shift this a little bit today. Because I want our prayer ushers to pray in a certain way as we invite the Spirit to empower you, our congregation and church, to live into your spiritual gifts, to live into your relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I hope by the end of this series, every single person in our church will have come forward for prayer at some point. The prayer is that the Holy Spirit would come and anoint you to discover your gifts, to find healing, to have discernment over what Jesus is calling you to next, to what your gifts are, and for opportunity to use those gifts here in our church. Amen? Let me pray over you as we head back into worship. Prayer ushers, come on forward. Jesus, I just want to thank you so much for who you are. Holy Spirit, I know you're here. I sense your presence and your love. Through these stories we've heard this morning, the ways we've seen these gifts enacted through your body, Lord, through the body of Christ that is our church, I'm just blown away by the way your love is tangible. Whether it's through caring for a family in need at a funeral, whether it's through stacking chairs, filming the cameras for our live stream, whether it's through giving secretly or publicly, whether it's through caring for those who have lost a loved one, Lord, I just want to call on your Spirit to activate those in our church who have these gifts. May you empower them. Would you show them clearly that this is something you have designed them with and called them to? And may they find life to the fullest in living this out as your kingdom is brought here to this world. So Jesus, come and have your way, God. We love you. We need you. Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name I pray.